السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The lofty standards of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in expressing his gratitude, and his own practical examples and his guidance in this regard were being discussed in the sermons prior to the Jalsa Salana, and I will continue doing so today as well. Drawing our attention towards being grateful to Allah the Almighty, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, guided us to be thankful even for the smallest of things. In relation to this, Hazrat Anas bin Malik relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Allah is pleased by this deed of his servant, that when he eats a morsel or drinks a sip, he praises him. Similarly, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates that once the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, entered his home and saw a piece of bread lying on the floor. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, picked it up, cleaned it and ate it, and then said that, O Aisha, honour that which is worthy of honour. For when this blessing of sustenance is removed from a people, then it does not return to them. Thus, this was the practical example of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that he would express his gratitude to Allah the Almighty for seemingly even the smallest of things, and he would thank him for his blessings and instruct the members of his household to do the same. Hence, if we desire blessings in our provisions, then we must express gratitude for every blessing of Allah the Almighty. Hazrat Ibn Abbas relates that on the day of the conquest of Makkah, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, went to the home of his paternal cousin, Hani bint Abi Talib. At the time, he was hungry, and he said that, do you have anything that we can eat? Upon this, she replied that, I have nothing except some pieces of dry bread, but I feel embarrassed to present them before you. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that you may bring them. He then placed them in water and broke them into small pieces. She then brought some salt, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked that, is there any broth? She replied that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, there is nothing except some vinegar. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then stated that you may bring that, and he poured it over his food and ate from it and praised Allah the Glorious. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said that, what an excellent broth vinegar is. O Hani, a home that has vinegar is not a poor home. Thus, these were the standards of the gratitude expressed by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We live in these countries in the West and benefit from countless blessings. But despite this, we do not fulfill the due right of being grateful towards Allah the Almighty. In fact, at times we even begin to complain over the smallest matters. We complain to our family members that you do not bring this or that. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu has described such ungrateful people, whilst on the other hand, the gratitude of the companions in a very powerful manner. He states that if you ever have to wear a torn garment, you begin to lament and say that how unfortunate we are, that we have been left with torn clothes to wear. But when the companions received a torn garment, their heads would bow before Allah the Almighty, and their tongues would become occupied in His praise, and they would say that what a wonderful garment our God has bestowed upon us. And if, after 4 days, they receive nothing more than a piece of dry bread, their eyes would sparkle with joy, and they would say, Alhamdulillah, that all praise belongs to Allah, for God has favored us with His bounty. It is for this reason that those pieces of dry bread benefited them. Whilst addressing the members of the Jamaat, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that those pieces of dry bread benefited them more than even pilau and korma benefit you today. Today, a person who is served pilau eats it, yet at the same time regrets that there was no zarda with it, i.e. sweet rice. And if someone is given both pilau and zarda, he still weeps tears of disappointment and says if only there had been firni as well, i.e. milk-based dessert. The one who is given lentils longs for meat, and the one who is given meat craves rice. And the one who has 4 loaves to eat. And in such a manner, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu continued giving examples. In any case, he says that in contrast, what was the condition of the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him? If they received even a simple piece of dry bread, they would say that we were not even worthy of this morsel, and it is purely the grace of Allah the Almighty that He has granted it to us. The result was that even a piece of dry bread became a source of strength for them, and it instilled in them lofty aspirations and further increased their spirit of gratitude. On the day of the conquest of Makkah, when the power of the Arab chiefs came to an end, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, entered Makkah with 10,000 devoted followers. The great leaders whose entire lives had been spent opposing Islam came before him with their heads bowed. On this occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, announced that go, for I shall not say a thing to you, and you are all free. After making this proclamation, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, went to the house of Hazrat Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha. Here it says that it was his aunt, but it may be an error in transcription or he said it mistakenly. But he went to the house of Hazrat Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was his paternal cousin, as has been mentioned earlier. And he asked, do you have anything to eat? She replied, that there is nothing to eat, as was just mentioned earlier. And she said that had I possessed anything, I would gladly have served it to you. But all I have is a piece of dry bread that has been lying here for several days. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that very well, bring that. When she brought the bread, he said that this is an excellent loaf, yet you were distressed, saying that you had nothing in the house. She then brought some water, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, soaked the bread in it. And after that he asked, do you have any broth? She replied, where could I have got any broth? I hardly even had bread to offer you, and if I had it, I would have brought it before. I only have some vinegar. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that what an excellent condiment vinegar is. And so she brought the vinegar, as has been mentioned earlier as well, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, dipped it in the vinegar and ate the bread with it. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further says that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, regarded even vinegar as a blessing from God and ate the dry bread with it, thanking Allah the Almighty for his favor. In reality, a person's digestion is strengthened by the cheerfulness that arises within the heart. If even something simple is eaten with joy and gratitude, it produces great strength. But even if the finest foods are eaten with sorrow and discontent, they bring no real benefit to a person. He further continues that people today think they deserve more than they have received. The companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, however, always felt they deserved less than what they had been given. Such was their gratitude that even if they received only a little, they would say that this is more than enough. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that it was for this reason that a single roti, i.e. flatbread, benefited them more than 10 rotis benefit you today. He then further states that this is because many of you have not yet tasted the sweetness of faith. Your hearts remain completely unaware of the reality that Allah has created you for a magnificent spiritual mission. And compared to the one whom Allah has chosen to bring about a spiritual revolution and transformation, even the greatest king in the world is insignificant. Yet, instead of understanding your true station and recognizing your responsibilities, you become preoccupied with the most trivial and insignificant matters. And you complain that I did not get this or I was not given that. He further states that until you develop a true awareness of the purpose for which Allah the Almighty has created you, and until you recognize your rank, you will never accomplish the work expected of you. Allah the Almighty has placed you in a position where your heart should constantly overflow with joy, and where alertness and vitality should always be evident within you. If this quality is developed, then you will immediately acquire such strength that even the smallest amount of food will be enough to enable you to carry out your work. Thus, this is a course of action that every Ahmadi should adopt, but especially those with limited means, but even more so for those who have dedicated their lives as Waqfina Zindagi in order to elevate their standards of gratitude. There is a great need for this. Likewise, they should strive to instill this spirit as much as possible in their wives and children, because the objective for which the Waqfeen have dedicated their lives is a truly noble one. And to attain such a lofty goal, they must keep before them the examples of those who themselves achieved such lofty objectives and endeavor to follow them. It is only then that they can truly attain their goals. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, not only appreciated the services of his companions, but also rewarded them with heartfelt prayers. In relation to this, there is a narration from Hazrat Abu Qatada. He relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, addressed the companions during a journey and said that you will continue traveling throughout this evening and the entire night, and tomorrow, inshallah, you will reach water. They were on a journey to somewhere. And so the people continued traveling, not even turning to one another. Hazrat Abu Qatada relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, continued riding until the middle of the night, and I was riding beside him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's eyes, felt heavy with sleep, and he began to lean to one side on his mount. He says that I quietly went close to him and supported him without waking him until he regained his balance and sat upright again. And so he continued traveling until most of the night had passed, and when sleep overtook him again, and he leaned to one side, once more I supported him without waking him, until he sat upright again. He says, we continued in this manner until the final part of the night. This time he leaned even more than before, to the point that he was about to fall from his mount, and I hurried forward and supported the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He then raised his head and asked that who is this? And I replied that it is Abu Qatada. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked that since when have you been accompanying me like this? And I replied that since the beginning of the night. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then prayed that may Allah protect you, just as you have protected his Prophet. In this way, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, expressed the highest standard of gratitude. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also set before us the perfect example of gratitude in his own life. One narration relates from Hazrat Abu Umama that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that my Lord, the Mighty and Majestic, offered to turn the valley of Makkah into gold for me. But I replied that no, my Lord, rather I would prefer to be hungry one day and well-fed the next, so that when I'm well-fed, I may praise you and give thanks to you, and when I'm hungry, I fervently pray before you and supplicate to you. Another narration is related by Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud. He says that whenever the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, drank water, he would drink it in three sips, removing the vessel from his mouth between each sip. That is, he wouldn't drink it all in one go. Rather, he would do so in three sips. And with each sip, he would praise Allah the Almighty. And after the final sip, he would offer thanks to Allah the Almighty. As the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, taught, even when you take a sip of water, praise Allah and thank him. This is the proper manner of drinking water, that is, with gratitude. And it is also beneficial for one's health, for instead of drinking it all at once, one should drink slowly, pausing between sips. There is a lengthy narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, related by Hazrat Abu Huraira. He says that by Allah, besides whom there is no God, that one day, because of hunger, I would lie with my liver pressed against the ground in order to support myself. And at times, because of hunger, I would tie a stone around my stomach. He says that this was not a matter of just one day. Rather, it continued for several days. He says, one day I sat along the pathway. He was in a very difficult condition at the time. And he sat along the pathway through which people would pass. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed by, and I asked him about a verse of the Book of Allah, i.e. the Holy Quran, regarding care for the poor, who do not ask for help themselves, and who are hungry. And so he explained its meaning to me, and then went away. After this, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed by, and similarly I asked him the same question, and he also explained its meaning to me and went away. After this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, passed by me. And when he saw me, he smiled and understood the condition of my heart, which was visible upon my face. And he said, Abahir. And I said, I am present, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. He said, follow me. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then went towards his home, and I followed behind him. He entered and gave me permission to enter as well. And inside his room, there was a bowl of milk. He asked his household where it had come from, and they told him that it had been sent as a gift from somewhere. Nonetheless, he then said, Abahir, and I said, I am present, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. He said, go to the people of Sufa and bring them to me. These were people who were often hungry and would remain seated outside, and people would sometimes take food to them and feed them at their homes. Nevertheless, he called them, and he further narrates that I disliked being asked to call them. For I thought to myself that what can this small quantity of milk possibly do for the people of Sufa? I had greater right to drink some of this milk so that I might gain some strength. And if they come and he orders me to give it to them, then I will have no choice but to give it to them. And then I have no hope that I will receive any of this milk. And there was no alternative for me except to obey Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him. In other words, he had no other choice. Thus, I went to them and called them. And the people of Sufa came and sat in their places. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that, O Abu Huraira, I said, I am present, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. He said, take this and give it to them. And so I took the bowl and gave it to one of them. He drank it until he was satisfied. Then another drank, then a third. And they continued drinking in this manner, until I reached the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, while all those who had been sitting there had become completely satisfied and had drunk their fill of the milk. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then took the bowl and placed it upon his hand. He looked towards me, smiled and said, O Abu Huraira. And I again said, I am present, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. He said, you and I are the only ones remaining now. I said, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, you have indeed spoken the truth. He said, sit down and drink. I sat down and began drinking. And he said, drink more. So I drank more. And he continued saying, drink more. And I continued drinking. Eventually I said, no more. By him who sent you with the truth, I can no longer find any room for it. In other words, his stomach was completely full. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, show me. I handed the bowl to him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then first praised and thanked Allah the Almighty, despite the fact that he too was hungry. And he first thanked Allah the Almighty, invoked his name, and then he drank the remaining milk. Such was his gratitude, and owing to this very gratitude, Allah the Almighty placed such blessings in it that all the companions were able to drink from it, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was also able to satisfy his hunger with it. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that when someone does a favor to a person, he should repay that favor. And if he does not have the ability to repay it, he should mention the favor before others, because the person who mentions it has expressed his thankfulness for it. But the person who pretends to possess a quality of greatness which he does not actually possess is like the one who wears two garments of falsehood. That is, he is false from head to toe. It is narrated that the maternal uncle of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Aswad bin Wahab bin Abd al-Manaf bin Zuhra, sought permission to meet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, "O my maternal uncle, come inside." He entered, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, spread his cloak for him and said, "Sit upon it," because the status of a maternal uncle is like that of a father. He then said, "O my maternal uncle, when someone is shown a favor and does not express gratitude for it, then at the very least he should mention that favor. For when he mentions it, it is as though he has expressed gratitude for it." How do we see this aspect of gratitude in the personal life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him? There are countless incidents. He always remembered those who had done him favors and continued to mention them on every occasion. For example, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, his noble wife, continually aided the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and treated him with kindness at every step. She was a wealthy woman of Makkah. And when she married the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, she placed all of her wealth before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, telling him to use it in whatever manner he wished. Then, after his claim to prophethood, she stood beside him with complete sincerity and devotion through every hardship and every difficulty until her demise in the 10th year of his prophethood. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remembered the favors of this devoted wife until the end of his life, and always mentioned her good deeds. He mentioned her so frequently that his other noble wives sometimes felt jealous. Thus, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha relates that whenever the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, mentioned Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he praised her and praised her very highly. She says that one day I became jealous and said to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, "Now why do you continue to mention that old woman when Allah the Almighty has given you wives better than her?" Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that Allah the Almighty has not given me a wife better than her because Khadija accepted me when others rejected me. And when people declared me a liar, she affirmed my truthfulness, and when people deprived me of their wealth, she supported me with her wealth. And Allah the Almighty granted me children through her, whereas he did not grant me children through the other wives. Throughout his entire life, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, remembered her services and always expressed his gratitude for them. Similarly, regarding his friends who had assisted him in various ways, he expressed great gratitude. Once a disagreement occurred between Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhumah. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was told of this, he reminded the others of the great favors of Hazrat Abu Bakr and instructed the companions not to cause him any pain. Later, when both of them came before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, regarding the matter, both realized their own fault. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that he had acted excessively towards Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and sought his forgiveness. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also said that he had acted excessively and asked for forgiveness. In any case, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, expressed his displeasure at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu because he argued with Hazrat Abu Bakr. He then said, "O Abu Bakr, may Allah conceal your faults and forgive you." Then Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu became remorseful and went to the house of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the two were sitting together. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that, O people, Allah sent me towards you, and you said that you are a liar. Whereas Abu Bakr said that you are truthful. And he supported me with his life and his wealth. Will you leave my companion alone for me or not? He repeated this twice, and after this, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was never caused any distress. He was always treated with due consideration. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, addressed the people and said that Allah gave a servant the choice between preferring the world or preferring the blessing which is with Allah, and that servant chose the blessings which is with Allah. Hazrat Abu Sa'id says that upon hearing this, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu began to weep. We were surprised at his weeping, because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was speaking about a servant who had been given a choice. But Hazrat Abu Bakr had begun to weep. In reality, this referred to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, himself, who had been given the choice. And the narrator says that Hazrat Abu Bakr was the most knowledgeable of us regarding this matter, and therefore he began to weep. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that among the people, the person who has shown me the greatest favor through his companionship and through spending his wealth is Abu Bakr. And if I were to take anyone as a deeply close friend besides my Lord, then I would take Abu Bakr. The reason Hazrat Abu Bakr began to weep was that upon hearing these words, he realized that Allah the Almighty intended to call the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to himself. When the Muslims were subjected to various forms of persecution in Mecca, they migrated towards Abyssinia with the permission of Allah the Almighty. At that time, the king of Abyssinia granted them refuge in his country. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, always remembered this favor of the king Najashi, and on every occasion expressed his gratitude for this kindness through his words and actions. On one occasion, a delegation from Najashi came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stood up to welcome them. His companion said that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, we are sufficient to receive them. But he replied that they treated my companions with great honor and respect, and I wish to personally repay their favor. Then, moved by this same spirit of gratitude, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also offered the funeral prayer in absentia for the king. Thus, Hazrat Abu Huraira narrates that when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, received news of the death of Najashi, he offered his funeral prayer in absentia. And the companions formed rows behind him, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, pronounced the takbir, by proclaiming that Allah is great, four times during the prayer. An expression of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's gratitude for the conduct of the Ansar is found in the following narration. In the 13th year of his prophethood, before the migration, 70 people from Medina pledged allegiance at the hand of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They pledged that when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came to Medina, they would protect him as they protected their own lives. And on that occasion, one companion from among the Ansar submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, we have long-standing ties with the Jews of Medina. By supporting you, those ties will be severed. Let it not be that when Allah grants you victory, you leave us and return to Mecca. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied that, No, not at all. This will never happen. For your blood is my blood, and your friends will be my friends, and your enemies will be my enemies. Hazrat Ibn Abbas relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, once went to answer the call of nature, and I place water for his ablution. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked, who placed this here? And when he was informed, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prayed, saying that, O Allah, grant him understanding of the faith. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would express gratitude even for a small act of service. There is another narration that during the journey after the Battle of Khaybar, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, married Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. On the night of the wedding, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Khalid bin Zaid stood guard outside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's tent throughout the night. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, woke up in the morning and saw Abu Ayyub standing guard outside, he asked that, O Abu Ayyub, is everything all right? What is the matter? He submitted, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, I felt apprehensive for you because of this woman, lest she cause you harm. Because in the Battle of Khaybar you killed her father, her husband and her people, and she has only recently accepted Islam. For this reason I feared for you on her account. The narrator relates that seeing his sincerity, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, prayed for him, saying, O Allah, protect Abu Ayyub just as he spent the night protecting me. Mutim bin Adi was the person who tore up the cruel pact of the Quraysh, and who, upon the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's return from Taif, granted him protection and brought him into Mecca under his safeguard. Thus, when the prisoners of Badr were brought before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he recounted the favors of Mutim. It is narrated that Muhammad bin Jubair related from his father, Hazrat Jubair bin Mutim, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated regarding the prisoners of Badr, that had Mutim bin Adi been alive and mediated with me concerning these wretched people, I would have released them for his sake. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu has also recorded this incident, and after narrating it, he writes that Mutim was a staunch idolater and he died in this very state, but possessed a noble disposition. As such, Mutim was the one who tore apart the cruel document of the Quraysh, due to which the Muslims had been besieged in the valley of Abu Talib. And when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, returned from Taif as well, it was Mutim who escorted the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, into Mecca under his own protection. And it was in remembrance of this benevolence that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, uttered these words. In actuality, it was a distinct quality of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that if a person did even the smallest good deed to him, he would never forget his act of benevolence. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would always desire that he continue receiving an opportunity to practically express gratitude for that person's goodwill. Furthermore, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was not like such worldly people who, after returning an individual for his generosity with a good deed once, would begin saying that now his debt had been repaid. Rather, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would continue striving throughout his life to repay the favor, who would continue to mention it. Abdullah bin Abi Rabi'ah Makhzumi narrates from his father, and he from his grandfather, when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, set out for the Battle of Hunain, he took a loan of 30,000 or 40,000 dirhams from him. And when he returned from Hunain, he repaid it. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said to him that may Allah bestow blessings in your family and in your wealth. The proper recompense for wealth and a loan is full repayment and words of praise. That is, it is necessary to thank the person who gives a loan. Hazrat Amr bin Akhtab relates that once the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked for water, and I brought water for him in a vessel, but there was a hair in it. And so I removed the hair, i.e. there was something very small, and then presented the vessel to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that, O Allah, grant him beauty. Thus, there was no occasion, however small, upon which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would fail to express gratitude. The narrator says that later he saw the effect of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, prayer upon him, as he lived to the age of 93, and there was not a single white hair on his head or on his bed. Similarly, there is a narration from Qatada who said that I heard Hazrat Anas say that Hazrat Umm Sulaim said to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that Anas is your servant. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, prayed for Anas, saying, O Allah, increase his wealth and his progeny, and bless him in whatever you have granted him. The fulfillment of this prayer is mentioned in the following words. Hazrat Anas says that by Allah, my wealth is indeed abundant, and the number of my children and grandchildren has now reached nearly 100. Then Hazrat Jabir narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, offered guidance and said, whosoever is shown a favor and then mentions it has expressed gratitude for it, and whoever conceals it has shown ingratitude. It is narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would accept gifts and would also give something in return. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, if someone is given a gift, then if he has the means, he should give something in return. And if he does not have the means, then he should praise the one who has given the gift. For whoever praises him has expressed gratitude, and whoever conceals it has shown ingratitude. Thus, these are the fundamental moral qualities that are essential for fostering love and tolerance in society. It is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira that a Bedouin presented a she-camel to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, as a gift, and in return the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave him 6 she-camels. It is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira that a person came into the presence of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked him for assistance. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, borrowed half a vusq of grain and gave it to him, which was approximately 80 kilograms. When the person who had lent the grain came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to demand repayment, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave him 1 vusq and said, half of it is in repayment of his debt, and the other half is a gift from him as an expression of gratitude. It is narrated by Hazrat Abu Hind that Tamim bin Aus ad-Dari brought lanterns, olive oil, and stitched ropes from Syria to Medina. When he arrived in Medina, it happened to be the night of Friday, and he instructed his servant to prepare the ropes and hang the lanterns in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's mosque. He then filled the lamps with oil and placed wicks in them, and when the sun had set, Tamim instructed his servant to light them. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to the mosque, and he saw that it was illuminated by these lamps, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was greatly pleased upon seeing this, and asked that who has done this. The companions submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, it was Tamim ad-Dari. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, prayed for him, and said that you have indeed illuminated Islam. May Allah illuminate you in this world and in the hereafter. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, further said that if I had a daughter, I would have married her to you. In this manner, he expressed his great appreciation for the service Tamim had rendered by illuminating the mosque. It is narrated by Hazrat Aisha that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would stand for such a long time in prayer during the night that his feet would become swollen and the skin would crack. Seeing this, Hazrat Aisha said that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, why do you exert yourself to such an extent when Allah has safeguarded you from all sin, both past and future? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that should I not then strive to become a grateful servant of Allah? When owing to his physical condition, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, experienced discomfort in his legs while standing, then he would sometimes offer the prayer while seated. In such circumstances, he would recite the Surah Al-Fatiha and other chapter of the Quran while seated. However, when he intended to perform the ruku, he would stand up and then perform the ruku from the standing position. Attar narrates that on one occasion, I went to visit Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the company of Ibn Umar and Ubaidullah bin Umar. And I said to the mother of the believers, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, now tell me of the most extraordinary thing you witnessed in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Upon hearing this, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha became overcome with emotion at the remembrance of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and began to weep. And she said that every aspect of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's conduct was extraordinary. She related that on one occasion the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came to me at night and lay down beside me. And he said, O Aisha, will you permit me tonight to worship my Lord? I replied that by Allah, I completely respect your desire and cherish your nearness to me. You have my permission. He then arose, performed ablution from a water skin, and stood for prayer. And during the prayer, he wept so profusely that his tears began to fall upon his chest. After completing the prayer, he sat reclining on his right side, with his right hand beneath his right cheek, and he began to weep again. And he continued weeping until his tears fell upon the ground. And this continued until Bilal came to call the Fajr prayer. And seeing him in this state of intense weeping, he said that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, why do you weep so much when Allah the Almighty has forgiven all your past and future shortcomings? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, should I then not be a grateful servant of Allah? And why should I not weep when tonight my Lord has revealed these verses? The verses are the following verses of Surah Ali Imran. The translation of these verses is that in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alteration of the night and the day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding, those who remember Allah while standing, sitting, and lying on their sides, and ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. Our Lord, Thou hast not created this in vain. Nay, holy art Thou, save us then from the punishment of the fire. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then stated after reciting these verses, that woe to the person who recites these verses, but does not reflect upon them. Then explaining this hadith, Hazrat Muslim Aoud radiallahu ta'ala anhu states at one place that the Arabic words, should I not be a grateful servant? This is referring to the hadith about the gratitude expressed by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He says that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, O Aisha, is it not the duty of a man upon whom God has bestowed his blessings to then fulfill his obligations towards God? If even a person such as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, despite all the sacrifices he made, and despite the abundance of love and devotion he possessed for Allah the Almighty, still felt the need to rise during the nights and stand before Allah for such prolonged periods that his feet would become swollen, and if he worshipped during the day and sought to make his life increasingly worthy of attaining nearness to Allah the Almighty, then what other human being can consider himself exempt from these responsibilities? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam also states with regards to this that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would weep so profusely and stand for such prolonged periods during his prayers that his feet would become swollen. The companion submitted that Allah the Almighty has forgiven all your shortcomings, and what is the reason for such exertion and weeping? He replied that, should I not then be a grateful servant of Allah? This condition of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, teaches us that whilst being grateful for the countless blessings of Allah the Almighty, we should strive to carry our gratitude to the highest possible degree. However, gratitude does not mean to sit contently. Rather, true gratitude requires further progress in action. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had attained the highest possible standard of righteousness, i.e. taqwa. Therefore, he also attained the highest standard of being a abd al-shakur, i.e. truly grateful servant. And at the same time, he instructed us to become grateful servants as well. Thus, if we are to fulfill the rights of being true servants of Allah the Almighty, then just as Allah's blessings continue to descend upon us, we must raise the standards of our worship accordingly and express ever greater gratitude. The result of Allah the Almighty's blessings should never be indolence. Rather, we should continually advance in our worship and in our gratitude to Him. Thus, so long as we act upon this principle, we shall continue to progress from one stage of advancement to another, both individually and collectively, inshallah. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, further explaining this subject, he states at one place that foolish is the person who says, Karam hai tumara kard gustakh, meaning, it is your grace that has made me insolent. These are the words of a Persian verse, in which the poet says to Allah that it was His grace that made him insolent. In other words, instead of becoming grateful for the favors of Allah the Almighty, he became insolent. The blessings of Allah do not make a person insolent and rebellious. This is an erroneous notion of his. Rather, they cause him to become increasingly grateful and obedient. Therefore, you should become even more grateful than before, for Allah the Exalted states, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are grateful, I will surely increase my blessings upon you. May Allah the Almighty enable us to become truly grateful servants and true worshippers of His, and may He always enable us to partake of His grace and blessings.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر